We're reviewing the Rambam's third Shoresh, Shoresh HaShlishi. I don't know what page it is in those copies. Do you have it? Does everyone have it? 68. Okay. Shai, you got it? Okay. Shoresh HaShlishi, our third root, our third principle, Shein Ruilim Not Mitzvot Shein Noagot Ledorot, that you shouldn't enumerate mitzvos that are not going to last for generations. Das is the Rambam. Ki Umram Tayag Mitzvot Nemulol Moshe B'Sinai, when Chazal worded it, that there were 613 mitzvos that were said to Moshe at Sinai. And we discussed last time that really we need a special class about the concept of Sinai, like the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, Moshe Kibel Torah mi Sinai, like the Gemara in Horios, that you have Sinai and Oker Arim. Sinai refers to he who has a good tradition. We have more copies.
No.
So the truth is, the fact that Chazal worded it that way, Moreh Aleyot Zah Mispahu Mispahu Mitzvot Anuagot Ledorot, that should teach us already that we're talking about the mitzvos that are going to be around for generations. Ki mitzvot she'enanu agot ledorot en kesher lehen b'sinai, hen she'nemru b'sinai u'bezulato. Because if we're talking about mitzvos that are not going to be around for generations, then they don't really have anything to do with Sinai. So it doesn't matter where and when we were commanded them. The whole stress of what we were told at Sinai is that at Sinai we got the Torah that's there for generations, the mitzvos, the tariag mitzvos, which are relevant for generations. The reason Chazal said Sinai, because the essence of Torah was given at Sinai. That's what the pasuk says, and then the parshat Mishpatim, and Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, come up the mountain, I want you to be there, and I will give you the luchot, the Torah, which is Torah shebichtav, mitzvah is Mishnah, Asher katavti is nevim v'ktuvim lo'rotam, that's Gemara. I'm going to give you all of the written law, the oral law. I'm giving you the Torah that's relevant l'dorot. U'beviur amru, the Gemara clearly says, me'eikra, how do you know that we have tariag mitzvos? The pasuk says, Torah tzivah lanu Moshe morasha kilat Yaakov. Torah tzivah lanu Moshe, the Torah that Moshe commanded us, is morasha, is an inheritance, is our heritage. So you see, we're talking about the Torah that continues. That's our heritage. Rotze lomar mispar Torah. The Gemara was telling us the numerical value of Torah. What? 611. Very good.
Who tafresh yudalev anochi
v'lo yeh mipei agvura shma'um uvehem nishlamu tariag mitzvot. So that's how you get tariag. You have 611 plus the two of anochi v'lo yeh lecha. By the way, the Rambam holds that there are 620 mitzvot, because the Rambam holds that 613 does not include the seven mitzvot neinoach. So the Rambam holds our ketel mitzvot. There are tariag plus the sheva mitzvot neinoach. That's a big machloket, but that's the Rambam's shita. Yotzu, so there are tariag mitzvot nemru li Yisrael. Am Yisrael exclusively has 613. There are another seven, which the nations also got. Okay. Yotzu bezeh, the Rambam doesn't say it here. He says it in Pirusha Mishnah. Yotzu bezeh, הסימן שהדבר שציווה לנו משה ולא שמנו כי ממנו הוא מספר תורה וקרא מורשה קהילת יעקב. So Chazal tell us, you have 611, and that is מורשה קהילת יעקב, ומצווה שאינה נוהגת לדורות, אינה לנו מורשה. A mitzvah that's not going to be relevant for generations is not our heritage. שאומנם יקרא ירושה, you could say it's your inheritance, מה שיתמיד לדורות. What's an inheritance? Something that continues in the family. כמו שאמר, קימי השמיים על הארץ. ומאומרם, and when Chazal tell us that every limb we have remach limbs, we have remach mitzvos, so every limb commands us do this mitzvah. Yeah, 248. Yeah, and every day corresponds to an avera. There are certain midrashim that tell us which day corresponds to which avera.
Yeah, but it's funny that it's a solar calendar. Not the
365?
Yes, 365, not with the Jewish calendar.
That's a good point, but you see in the calculations of astronomy that the Gemara also took into account the solar calendar, meaning we have certain things. Okay, you're asking a very good question. You guys follow what he's asking? How come 365, our calendar is in 365 days? So that's true. Nonetheless, Chazal knew that the solar year was 365 days. And when the Gemara discusses how we calculate when we should have a leap year, so the Gemara says based on the seasons. How do they know the seasons? So the Gemara works on the seasons based on the solar calendar. We do have those calculations in halacha, working with the solar calendar. That's why, look at when do we start saying the Ten Talum Matar and Chutz La'aretz? December 4th or 5th. Why is it going by the Gregorian? What? 4th or 5th, depending on the year, because it depends on exactly when the seasons change. But Chazal knew when the seasons changed. They used to say it based on the seasons, what they called Tkufa. Tkufa is the season. Now, the Tkufot, their calculation of the seasons, was based on the solar calendar, which they knew how to do. We just didn't use it. The Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses, how do we decide when to make it a leap year? So the Gemara says, well, we figure out when does the Tkufa, when does the season come? So they knew how to calculate seasons. And then we see how far off is Pesach. That's one of the calculations. We have many calculations. But so the solar calendar was relevant, but your point is very good. Your point is very, very good. I want to go off on a tangent. Yeah. In our parsha, we see Yaakov Avinu is the sun. Vayizrach lo hashemesh. The sun shone for him. That's a literal meaning. And Chazal darshened it, vayizrach lo, it shone for him, comma, hashemesh, the sun. Yaakov is called hashemesh. Yaakov and Esav are both called Shemesh. Yaakov and Esav are twin brothers. We have two opposing forces in the world. When we talk about the four Malchuyot, so the fourth kingdom we're under, Rashi and Zechariah quotes from a Medrash Tehillim that the Malchuyot always came in pairs. So you had Bavel with Kasdim, the Babylonians with the Chaldeans, then you had Paras and Madai, the Persians and the Medes. You had Yavan and Mukdon, the Greeks with the Macedonians. And then finally, you have Edom and Yishmael. Rashi learns that this Galut is Galut Edom together with Yishmael. You have some Midrashim that call it Galut Edom. Some Midrashim call it Galut Yishmael. The Midrash Teilim, the Shocher Tov, says they are in pairs. And Rashi and Zechariah goes with that. Rashi tells us they're pairs. They're always a destructive pair. The Muslims have a lunar calendar. They do everything with the moon. Their writing is all just like we write from right to left. So their writing is all from right to left. The Edom Christians, they go from left to right. The Christians, their calendar is all solar. The Muslim calendar is all lunar. And we're supposed to be in the middle, the balance in between. So we have a lunar calendar that gets modified for the solar year. We have leap years in order to match the solar year as well, the seasons.
So the Muslim calendar doesn't have the leap years.
No, that's why the Ramadan keeps shifting back a month every year.
The total lunes.
What?
The total lunes.
That's and when it comes to the writing, for example, we write from right to left, but when you write in a Sefer Torah, you pull the pen from left to right. So your letters are going from right to left, but the way you write is from left to right. So we're always that middle ground in between. So you're right that ordinarily we don't think of our calendar as a calendar of 365 days, but we, with regards to this, we do. It happens to be a discussion in the Gemara. If a person takes a vow for a year, when's the year up? Right. So we go by our lingo, which usually means this date, which usually means you're going by our calendar this date next year. But that's because vows go by what you mean, what's your intent. But your point is excellent. You're right.
Well, in fact, it would be real funny if this could be also a trick of Lavan. It could be. I said to Yaakov, say, Yaakov, okay, I finished my 7 years. No. You finish the 7 years of the moon. I want the 7 years of the solar.
You're right. There's a medrash that discusses what was Yaakov's discussion with Esav. Tonight, ishti v'avoi eileh. Yaakov says, give me my wife. So Chazal say, what does he say? And then let me be intimate with her. You don't find any chassan. The lowest chassan on the block is not going to talk that way to his father-in-law. What's going on here? So Chazal say, Yaakov said, tonight, ishti, my year's up. Esav did just that. He said, you thought I meant 7 years like this, 7 years like that. He came up with a different calendar. He said, your 7 years aren't up. Yaakov said, okay, if you want to calculate that way, vavoyle. So I don't think you're right, but then let us at least get married. I'll stay and I'll continue working. But that's what Yaakov, it was a two-part sentence. But you're right. You got it right, yeah. Back to our, to the Rambam. So, v'chol yom v'yom kilu yazir oto ma'avira. And it's as though each day corresponds to a different sin, and the days of the year tell us don't do this and don't do that. You see that the Gemara associates the numbers with things that are eternal, seemingly saying that this is an eternal message, and so these have to be eternal mitzvot. ולא היה מכלל המניין מצוות שאינן נוהגות לדורות, הנה יחסר זה הכלל בזמן שיחלה בו חיוב המצווה היא. And if you're going to say that the numbers are mitzvos that do not last for generations, so then the message doesn't really work. Now, this is a problematic Rambam. You understand? The Rambam's taking a medrash and taking a message, so then we'll come back with Malachi's claim. Okay, go with the lunar calendar. The 248 limbs, there's a discussion in the Gemara at what stage in our life, because as our limbs form, they have different numbers. A baby's skull, when it's born, is divided in certain ways, and then it fuses together. The Gemara goes into, how do you calculate 248? At what stage of life is it 248 limbs? There is an evolvement in the development of our body. Okay, so the Rambam, you know, okay, well, this isn't the Rambam's strongest claim, if you ask me. You know, so it corresponds to the days and the numbers, so fine. We already mentioned that the Ramban quotes a different gears in the Gemara of Talyag Mitzvot LeYisrael. Am Yisrael had 613 mitzvahs. Doesn't the whole Sinai doesn't appear in Baal Halachos Gedolos' version of the Gemara? Okay.
Probably Rambam must mean limbs of an adult, because okay, he was not known for helping women to give birth. He was known for being the personal doctor of the caliph in Egypt.
Maybe. Okay. ולא היה מאמר הזה שלם כי אם בזמן מוגבל. So then this wouldn't work only for a short amount of time if it referred to mitzvos that were going to expire. וכבר תאה גם כן זולתנו בשורש הזה, and others have erred in this, and the Ramban already revealed to us that he's talking about Baal Lachos Gedolos, ומנע בעבור שיצר לו היכולת ולא יבוא לראות כבלת הקודש, and because he was short on skill, so someone else, he doesn't tell us who he's talking about, we know he's talking about Rav Yudai Gon. So he counted that which it says the Levim shouldn't be around when they cover up the Holy of Holies. We're talking about they're traveling in the desert, they're wrapping up the Holy of Holies. That doesn't have to be mentioned. Umanav lo yavodod, when the Torah says the Levim in the desert, they can't do this hard work when they pass a certain age. That's a temporary mitzvah, and yet he counted it. The Eilu gamken enan nogot ledorot kim bamidbar, these are mitzvahs that are only relevant in the desert. Vaval pi shamru, remez gonev ta kasva lo evo lirot, v'yesh dai sipuk momam remez, v'shepash te dikai nochen. Even though we do derive from it a prohibition, but you see, it's not a real derivation. It's called a remez, so that the pasuk isn't referring to that. So you can't say it's a permanent mitzvah. Ve'ino gamken michlan mechuyve mita b'dei shamayim, kmo shitro b'tseftov sanedrin. I think we did a lot of Ramban here. Didn't we do the Ramban up to here even? Gonev Kasva, we did.
Ramban,
yeah. We did, okay, yeah.
The Lamed Heta Malachim, when it comes to Shabbos.
I'm listening, I'm just getting Gemara, yeah.
Marcus, if it's based on the work that was done on the Mishnah. Or is it safe to say that the Rambam doesn't hold, according to this Madomra, that we don't learn the Lamtes Malachim from the work that was done on the Mishnah because it was because that is well, oh no. I
think you're saying the work was temporary, the work in the Mishkan, so but the Lamtes right. Malachos are not. Saying the Lamtes Malachos are permanent.
The Lamtes Malachos are permanent.
Yeah.
But they're okay. But maybe they're not. It's not a direct mitzvah from the. In other words, we're learning from it. We're learning from the lamtes melacha. No.
We're going to have to see. The Rambam's going to have to speak about the lamtes melachos. Is it one mitzvah? Is it 39 mitzvahs? Why does he count it? Yeah, you're going to count that as 39. You're going to finish your 613 pretty fast. Uh-huh. So the Rambam will deal with it. We'll get to it. Not here, but we'll get to it.
Well, it would be not the first time.
What?
It would be not the first time that he separates a mitzvah to many other.
We'll see.
For the tefillin. That's different for the head, different for the hand. Two mitzvahs.
Let's wait. He discusses that. Rambam addresses that directly, so we'll get to it. Okay. Okay. says the Rambam, ve'ino gam ken michlal mechuyvim tabdei shemayim kmo shidver b'tzofta v'sanhedrin. You see, Megmar and Sanhedrin, even though we do derive that if you steal from Hegdesh, it's prohibited from ve'lo evo lirot kevalat ha-kodesh, but nonetheless, you don't get the punishment, you don't get Misa B'dei Shamayim, so you see, it's not a full derivation, because if it were a derivation, they would get Misa B'dei Shamayim. Now, I think that maybe we should go to the Ramban, because we saw all of this. You guys want to finish the Rambam?
Yeah.
Yeah? What's the vote? Review the Rambam completely? Okay. V'ani nifla mizeh shemana eilu halavin nama lo mana omro. He says, and I wonder, why isn't there consistency? Rav Yudaigon, Baal Alachos Gedolos. If you're going to count these prohibitions, so then why didn't you count Omro, that which the Torah says, Baman, with regards to the man, Ishal Yotel Mimenu Ad Bokir. The Torah says, don't leave over any man till tomorrow morning. Finish all your man each day. Why don't you count that as a mitzvah? If you're going to count temporary mitzvahs, that's also a temporary mitzvah. V'omro Yitale, and then Hashem tells us, as we're traveling by Ammon and Moab, it says, Al Tatzar and Moab, Al Titkar Ba Milchama, don't lay siege on Moab, don't initiate war. Mechena Azra Sheba Bivne Amon Al Titzurim Al Titkar Bam, it says don't lay siege or initiate war with the Ammonites. Why don't you count those mitzvahs? If you're going to count temporary mitzvahs, count those too. Mechen Yimne Gam Ken Michlan Mitzvot Asay, he should have also counted among the mitzvahs Asay, Omro, when the Torah says, Asay Lecha Sarap Vesimot Anes. If you remember in Chukas, the people started speaking badly about Moshe. Hashem sent out these snakes that killed them. And Hashem tells Moshe, make yourself a copper snake, put it on a pole, and then whoever gets bitten will look at the copper snake and get cured. Why not count that as a mitzvah? So it was temporary. Okay, if you're counting temporary mitzvahs, count that too. The Torah tells us that Hashem told Moshe, when the man started coming down, Hashem said to Moshe, take a container, keep a container of man, it'll be a commemoration for Am Yisrael. Why don't you count that? Kmo shemana tumat ha-meches, v'chanukat ha-mizbeach. He counts the tax in the end of Matos when they got the loot from the war against Midian. So then they took off a certain tax to give to the Kohanim and Levim. So that, Baal Halachos Gedolos counts. When we did Chanukat HaMizbeach, the inauguration of the altar, he counts that. So then count these as well. They were each a temporary thing. And the Ramban's goal is to protect Rav Yudai Gaon, even though he agrees with the Rambam. He wants to show you that Rav Yudai Gaon isn't as ridiculous as the Rambam's making him out to be. So that's what we're going to see in the Ramban, the defense for all these things. Hashem tells Moshe, tell the Jewish people to prepare themselves for 3 days for Matan Torah, separate from their wives so that their wives will be pure for Matan Torah. He counts that. So, why don't you count when it says, stay away from Sinai? Hashem told them, until I come down to Sinai, don't let the cattle graze there. Don't you go up the mountain. Why don't you count that too?
The Ramban is going to show there's a pattern to this?
Yes.
I mean, this is, there's 100%. This. There's lots of
dubot. Yeah, the Ramban is going to show a pattern. Yes.
So what's wrong with Sinai? Sinai, the prohibition when for the people of Israel don't go there.
So he's saying, why don't you count that?
We'll see.
The Ramban is going to defend it. Every time we did this in the past, you read the Rambam and you're convinced he's right because he's making his case. The pasuk says in Mishlei, "Sadik harishon v'rivo." Whoever presents his claim first always seems righteous. But then when his friend comes in and says, "Wait, you forgot this detail. There's more to say about that." Suddenly, the picture takes on a different form. So over here too, let's hold off before we give judgment. Rav Yudai Gaon was the top Rosh Yeshiva before the Rambam came to the scene. So everyone respected him until the Rambam came along. So they continued respecting him. I'm saying, you know, he's not, you know, the Rambam's going head on against him. That, by the way, is why the Ravid wrote so harshly against the Rambam. The Ravid was an old Rosh Yeshiva when the Rambam was a youngster. So the Rambam, we always learn Rambam and then Ravid, but in truth it was the other way around. The Ravid was the known Rosh Yeshiva, and the Rambam was the youngster who was putting out this new work, and the Ravid started going over it, and the Ravid just wrote his commentary like you'd write to a young whippersnapper. What are you talking about this, and what are you talking about that? In the course of history, the Rambam became the accepted one, and the Ravid became the one that was on the sidelines. But the way the scene was at the time when the Ravid wrote his work, he was an old Rosh Yeshiva, and the Rambam was a young rabbi. Okay, so over here, the Rambam's going against Baal Halachos Gedolos. We're still going to see. ולא יספק בעל שכל כי אלו כולם מצוות נאמרו לו למשה ציווי ועזרה. No one who has a brain would doubt that these are all commandments that Hashem gave Moshe ועזרה, אך כולם היו לפי שעה, but they were all temporary ואינן נוהגות לדורות ולכן לא יימנו. Being that they don't last for generations, Hashem tells Moshe, make yourself a copper snake, that was a one-time thing, so you don't count that. ובעבור השור שזן רואי למנות ברכות וכללות שנצטוו. Because of this principle, it is not fitting to count the blessings and curses that they made when they entered Eretz Yisrael on Har Gerizim and Har Eival. There's no logic to count that. ולא בניין המזבח שנצטווינו לבנותו בבואנו בארץ כנען, nor the commandment to erect an altar when we enter Eretz Canaan, כאילו כולם מצוות לפי שעה. They were all temporary mitzvot. ולא הציווי שציוונו שנקריב כל בהמה שנרצה לאכול ממנה שלמים, כי זה ציווי במדבר בלבד. We had an interesting situation. In the desert, we weren't allowed to eat meat unless we brought it as sacrifice. So the Rambam says, why don't you count that? When we entered Eretz Yisrael, we were allowed to eat pig's meat for 14 years. All the years we were conquering and dividing Eretz Yisrael, the Torah permitted us to eat anything we wanted, basically, any meat we wanted. The Torah says, Hashem says, I gave you batim mele'im kol tuv, I gave you houses filled with anything good you can imagine. Chazal say that's kadle chazire. That's the special part of the pig that was permitted for them to eat when they entered Eretz Yisrael. But with that came a commandment, if you want to eat meat, so you should know, once you enter Eretz Yisrael, you're permitted besal ta'ava, you're permitted to eat meat normally. You don't have to bring a sacrifice every time you do, but you have to slaughter it. So we shifted from only korbanos to any meat we wanted, as we're conquering Eretz Yisrael and dividing it, to you could eat meat at home, you don't have to bring it as a sacrifice to the temple, but you got to do hilchos shechita. So you had 40 years where there was a commandment, bring it as a shlamim. Well, you can't count that, says the Rambam. That was for those 40 years. Yeah?
So it seems like we went from one end of the spectrum to the other, to the middle.
It would seem that way, but okay, that deserves its own, when we get there. The Torah says, you want to eat meat, bring it to Hashem. Amru b'sifra v'eviyum, so mitzvah tasei. The Sifra really says, v'eviyum, the commandment to bring it to the Beit HaMidash is a mitzvah tasei, aval hi b'midbar levad. Kmo she'be'er b'mishneh Torah. You see, we come to Sefer Dvarim, you see that it was a temporary mitzvah. It's true when you read it initially, the Sifra says it is a mitzvah saseh, but then it says in Mishneh Torah, Hutar besar ta'ava ledorot, v'umro v'cholavat nafshecha tochal basar. The Torah says, whenever you want, you can eat meat. So the Torah comes and permits us besar ta'ava to eat meat whenever we want. We just have to slaughter it. We don't have to bring it as a sacrifice. V'ilu haya ro'i limnot kol ma'ashu mizamin. And if we should really count any of these temporary mitzvot, then all the mitzvot that Moshe had from the day he started prophesying to the day he died, if you leave out all the mitzvot that last for generations, just count the personal commandments. Hashem tells him, go to Mitzrayim, do the signs, talk to Paro, meet him by the water. All the commandments that Moshe Rabbeinu got, leave out the permanent 613, you're going to have much more than 613. You'll tell me 300 mitzvot, he says it's more than 300 mitzvot, כשנמנה כל ציווי שבא במצרים וכל מה שבא במילואים וזולתם, כולם כתובים בתורה, מהם עשה ומהם לא תעשה. If you count everything from the beginning of Moshe's prophecy, go to Mitzrayim, build the Mishkan, etc., you see there are many more than 300. מאחר שהוא נמנע למנותם כולם, so if you're not going to count all of them, יתחייב בהכרח שלא תמנה גם אחת מהם, then don't count even one. ולא כמו שעשה זולתנו, and not like others did, he doesn't even call them by name, others, other than me, שלקח מהם דבר על צד העזר, כאשר יגע למצוא המספר. He says, being that he's inconsistent, it must be he just needed filler to get the 613, so he took whatever worked for him. וזה מה שכיוונו לבר בשור שזה, and this is all I wanted to explain in this principle. So that's the Rambam.
That's typical Rambam. Very strict.
Yeah, very strong. Ramban. So now we turn back to the beginning of the Shoresh. Notice on the different sides of the page, you have, if you want to cut, on the different sides of the page, you have different commentaries. We're going with the Ramban.
We have
a lot. That's
anyway, what's that about?
Over here. On the left hand side of this page. Okay. Hey, Kara Shlishi. You guys want copies? Yeah,
okay.
Uri, you want a copy?
Wow.
Which?
The second page.
I don't know, I'm looking. The third page. Rosh Hashanah Shlishi.
It looks like a Rosh.
Like what?
Rosh Hashanah.
Russian?
Yes, you're looking
Amar bo Rav she'en roi she'imnu mitzvot she'inan ledorot. The Rav is the Rambam. He says you shouldn't count mitzvot that won't last for generations. V'zeh davar baruch hinon elam klal, and that's clear. She'ilu maninu amitzvot amurot l'sha yumanin kol mitzvah she'ba b'mitzrayim uvamtam mitzvot aseh u'mitzvot lo taseh v'ya ole el cheshbon gadol k'mo she'amar Rav. He says you're right, I agree. If we're going to count every mitzvah that happened throughout our history, you're going to end up with a huge number. Agree. So he gives it away. We're talking about Baal Halachos Gedolos. We aren't 100% sure who Baal Halachos Gedolos was. The generally accepted opinion is that it was Rabbi Yehudai Gaon from the period of the Gaonim. He was blind, and his students wrote his work. So sometimes the Rishonim write, a student stuck that in. He didn't know. He couldn't have said that. You know. Just say that. Baruch
so many years, if you want to
play right up. So it's impossible that Baal Halachos Gedolos got this one wrong, says the Ramban. Aval, but okay. So why did he count all of these mitzvot? So now the Ramban is going to start developing a theme: what gets counted and what doesn't. And he'll take the Rambam on, and some things he'll take him head on, and in some things he'll have a general rule which answers the Rambam's questions. So we begin. What was the Rambam's first claim? How could you count that which the Torah says, do not be present when they fold up the Holy of Holies? So that was in the desert. You're right. He agrees to the principle that it has to be a mitzvah for generations. He holds that that's a mitzvah for generations. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says, where does it say that if you steal something from the temple instruments, that's a biblical prohibition? So the Gemara is telling you, it's biblically prohibited. Where do you have an allusion to it? This pasuk. It says, don't be present, don't even look when they fold up the tools of the holy. So the Rambam said, I don't even have to disprove him, because the Gemara used the word remez. Remez means it's an allusion, it's not a derivation. So that you can't say that's the idea. The Rambam had claimed, it's enough that the Gemara calls it a remez. Upashte dekain no bezeh, and the simple reading of the pasuk makes no reference to this. Veinok mochen michlal chayvei mita b'dei shamayim ukmosh nidber b'tosefta v'sanhedrin. He says, and you know what? The Tosefta, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, clearly says he's not going to get, if he steals from this, he's not going to get death penalty by the hands of heaven. V'nei b'odah min harav, im yiyeh min chayvei mita b'dei shamayim ra'uyu la'aviyo b'minyan ha'mitzvot. So he says, so wait a second, Rambam. You're willing to agree that if I could prove that you do get the death penalty at the hands of heaven, misa bidei shemayim, you're willing to concede that it's a biblical mitzvah, right? So now that's the next step. Vani tameh alav, so I don't get him, says the Ramban, zichrono livracha, she'im eino michlal chavei mita bidei shemayim, avlu chamur yoter. So let's say you don't get death penalty at the hands of heaven. That's because you get a worse punishment. Sharei uchayav mita bidei adam. He gets the death penalty at the hands of the court. The Mishnah says over there, kana'in poge'in bo. So, we have interesting halachos. The Ramban here is going on a dangerous limb. Let's take, where do we have kana'in poge'in bo? So it says, if someone steals something from Hegdesh, kana'in poge'in bo. Where else do we have kana'in poge'in bo? Bo'el ha'ramit. Someone has intimate relations with a non-Jewish woman. So the Torah says, lo titchaten bam. You're not allowed to live with them on a permanent basis in the form of marriage. There is no halachic marriage. You can't marry a non-Jewish woman. You give her kiddushin, it doesn't take effect. But when the Torah says, lo titchaten bam, what the Torah prohibited was, you may not live with a non-Jewish woman on a permanent basis. What would happen if a guy goes like Cosby and Zimri? Zimri goes with Cosby. They're not planning on living together permanently.
No.
So then we have halacha that says, Kana'in Poginbo. This is halacha from the days of Moshe. Is it biblically prohibited?
Yes.
Is it rabbinically prohibited? So the Ramban wants to say now that when we have such a halacha that you could kill him, so then that means it's biblically prohibited. Let's stop for a minute. Let's go over to a Mishnah in Midos. The Mishnah says they'd have shifts, guard duty, around the Beit HaMikdash. If a kohen would catch someone sleeping on guard duty, he wouldn't take him to court. He'd take his torch and put it on his clothing. If the guy woke up in time, he'd stay alive. If not, well, he was toast. So the Gemara says there were other things that kohanim, if they caught someone doing it, they'd break his skull. So kohanim didn't, they had their way of doing things. If a kohen wasn't careful enough about the laws of purity, he'd be dead. They didn't take him to court. There was no discussion. Now you tell me, if someone falls asleep on guard duty, is that nisur d'oraisa? The kohanim went far out, and Chazal said, you know what, okay, in the Beis HaMikdash, people have to be careful, we're not going to get in their way. So we have a halacha kana and pogim bo. Now this halacha goes back to the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Ramban is saying, if kanaim pogim bo, so then you see it's worse than d'oraisa. Okay, let's see. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos, you have Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai prohibited, they made special prohibitions to ensure we don't end up with intermarriage. What did they say? Gazru al pitan mishum shamnan, shamnan mishum yinam, yinam mishum bnotehem, bnotehem mishum davar acher. Bread, you're not allowed to eat non-Jewish bread, right? You're not allowed to eat non-Jewish baked goods, because that, you know, if you're going to eat his chocolate chip cookies, your son is going to say, gee, I like Susie's chocolate chip cookies. And before long, your son and Susie are best friends, and he's going to end up marrying her. Fine. So Chazal said, you don't exchange baked goods. Okay? So that's a gzera of Bishama and Beisela. Pitan, mishum shamnam. They said, no baked goods, no oil, no wine, right? You don't go to a New Year's Eve party together, because same idea. You go to a New Year's Eve party, you and your son, see him and his son, okay. So, pitan shamnam yeinam mishum b'notehim, because it's all going to end up with their daughters. But their daughters is biblically prohibited. No. The daughters was Xera of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. No, it's not Xera of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. It's Xera of Chashmonaim. Beitin shel Chashmonaim gazru al Shamgaz. The Gemara has a Rashi Tevos. The Beis Din of Chashmonaim. In the times of the Chashmonaim, they prohibited it. What did they prohibit? According to the Ramban, if you already have a Kanaim Pogimbo, the Ramban makes it into it's biblical. No, the Torah prohibits marriage. If it's going to be a one-night thing, so then that doesn't say in the Torah. It says you could kill him. We have a tradition, you could kill him if you catch him doing the act. Not a second later, not a second before. But during the act, you could kill him. Special halacha, kanoim pogim bo. What's that?
What does it mean exactly, kanoim pogim bo?
Pause, rewind.
But so what's the mashmaos there though? What does it mean? Can I pull you, Bob? What does it mean? What's the? Yeah, is that what it means?
No.
There was a Rashi Shiva in Europe. His name was Rav Gustman. He was such a genius that at age 18, when he walked into the highest bezin of Europe, Rav Chaim Moses Bezdin, the whole bezin stood up for him. He was a kid, 18 years old. Everyone there up there, Rav Chaim Moser, the Chafetz Chaim used to ask him his shailas. So,
he was here in Yerushalayim.
He was here in Yerushalayim too. He built the yeshiva here. He has a beautiful story how he was saved. That the Nazis beat him thinking he was dead, and they shaved off his beard, and then they beat him up, and then, or he shaved off his own beard. No, they beat him and left him for dead. And he woke up all dizzy, and he didn't know where he was or anything. He realized what was going on. He shaved off his beard and he came back and they didn't recognize him. And there's a whole story how he, you could see it online, a beautiful story. You just do a search of Gustman. And at any rate, so he was a super genius. He came here. He built the yeshiva here. And he had a yeshiva in Brooklyn too. And he said the following yesod for many things, including Kanaim Pogimbo. He said, when we speak about terms in Shas, Kanaim, Chassid, Vatik, these terms don't mean, I want to be a kanai, okay, I'll go kill him. No. You have to be a board-certified kanai. Meaning, Pinchas was a kanai in everything he did. And that's what Pinchas goes and asks Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, Rabbi, you taught us halacha, kanaim pogimbo. Someone who's certified as a kanai, in everything he does, he's zealous. So then he's entitled to walk up during the act and kill him. So Moshe says, yeah, you're certified. So Pinchas walks up and kills him. So Kanaim, someone who is really a Kanaim, not someone who just decides he's upset. You know, no. A real Kanaim, Poginbo, could kill him on the spot during the Aveira.
Not before, not later.
Not before, not later. The Ramban is telling us that if it's Kanaim Poginbo, so then you see that's the death penalty and it's an Issur Doraisa. Who says? This is a big Chiddush the Ramban is saying. The Ramban is going to say another point, but I'm saying his first point, that if you're going to administer the death penalty, that's a Doraisa. Okay, there's room to discuss that. That's not Pashut.
So, in fact, we have a problem with something that is from the Torah, which is not so
obvious.
What can you do in this case? But at the same time, probably the Jews of that time used to be careful, so they won't end up having this to make this decision,
right,
whether to kill or not.
Right.
If even to be this attention that the people would have was not written in the Torah. Right.
This attention. What do you mean? Yeah, this attention.
The Jews were trying not to end up being in the case of deciding if they have to kill a person or not. So in fact, they tried to prohibit the relationship between a Canaanite and a Jew generally.
Probably. Well, they prohibited it because they knew where it would lead.
Exactly. But it was not in the Torah that it's prohibited even to have a small relationship.
Correct. Correct.
So we have this problem. Because Rambam takes for granted that everything is prohibited, but Rambam says that in the Torah it's not so clear.
Slowly. I just because we mentioned it, so I have to mention something else. Someone once asked Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky if a guy is going to have a Jewish girlfriend or a non-Jewish girlfriend. So with a Jewish girlfriend, she's a nida. So it's an Isser Kares. It's a biblical prohibition. With a non-Jewish girlfriend, if anything ever happens, no, Kanaim Pogimbo, it'll never happen. So maybe you should encourage him to have a non-Jewish girlfriend. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said, anyone that says that doesn't begin to understand what Torah is all about. He said if you just look at the mathematics and say, okay, this is this and that's that, you're missing the whole point. Because at the end of the day, he's going to have an non-Jewish girlfriend. You're going to lose the whole Torah. The Torah repeatedly warns against that.
On this thing, who is right? Based on this phrase?
Slowly. We're just starting. We have to hear the Ramban out. And I'm never going to call the shots between them. Who am I? So the Ramban said point number one. He says, if you have Kanaim Pogimbo, so that makes it Doraisa. So that, I just wanted to point out that that's something that there's room to discuss. There's a lot of room to discuss that. But that's the Ramban's claim number one. Aval bevadai chayav mita bidei shamayim nami. But his second point, he says, but he's also chayav misa bidei shamayim. Kedamrin anhatam bigmar sanedrin. The Gemara brings the following discussion. Ba minei ravacha baravuna merav sheishat. Kohen sheshemesh betumah chayav mita bidei shamayim o lo. If a Kohen did service betumah, is he chayav misa bidei shamayim or not? Tnina. So the Gemara brings the following story, what we mentioned earlier. Kohen sheshemesh betumah. If a Kohen wasn't careful, he went and did service when he was tamei. Enechav kohanim vinto lebetim. They don't bother bringing him to court. Ela pirchei kuna motzim tochutz la'azara. They escort him out of the azara. I don't want to get anything tamei, right? Careful with that. They bring an axe and they reveal his brain. In other words, he's dead. So the Gemara says, if he's chayav misa b'day shamayim, let him go. Let the heavens take care of him. So the Gemara says, wait a second. If he's not chayav misa, could it be that the Torah doesn't make him chayav misa, but we'd kill him? So the Gemara assumes if we're going to kill him, if the Kohanim are killing him, then he's chayav misa. V'shalnu v'arei mishel akav v'shana v'tiratznu b'malkuyot shekritut askinan degavra bar katlo v'shalnu od v'agonev takasva v'tiratznu k'mochen ha'amar Rav Yehuda v'chle sharet v'achman amar v'lo yivou lirot k'velat ha'kodesh v'meitu lomar dain ami bar katlo. So the Gemara gives a few examples, and each time the Gemara backs it up, and the final example the Gemara brings is, what about a person that steals from the Holy of Holies. So the Gemara quotes this pasuk to prove that, to tell us the Hainami Bar Katlo, that this guy is also the Chayav Mita B'dei Shemayim. The Gemara says, you see, he's Chayav Mita B'dei Shemayim, otherwise, you'd have no right to touch him. Kanaim Poginbo. That's the Ramban's proof. So the Gemara says, wait a second. What about a guy who goes with a non-Jewish woman? Meaning, the Gemara brings the following story. Rav Kahana had a dream, and when he had a dream, he came back and told his dream. And then Rav said, yeah, that's my Masorah. The Pasuk says, Yachet Hashem Leisha Sheyaseh Ovona. Hashem's going to cut off anyone who does such a thing. So we have a halacha that says Kanoim Pogimbo. The Gemara says, how could you do Kanoim Pogimbo if he's not Chayv Misa? The Gemara brings a whole bunch of questions. Each time the Gemara answers it, then the Gemara says, what about Boel Aramit? The Gemara says, ah, there's a Pasuk in Navi. Pasuk in Navi? Not Navi, the last Navi, Malachi. Voalachal Moshe Misinai. It's Alachal Moshe Misinai. Kanaim Pogimbo. We said it's already from Moshe. So the Ramban says, "Ukmo shepirashdi v'arav atid limnotom chayvei kritut nimtzat 52." The Rambam's still going to say he's chayv kares for it. So he says, "You see, I just proved that the Gemara says we wouldn't touch him, we wouldn't have kanaim pogim bo if he's not chayv misa b'dei shemaim." Now we really have to open the Gemara in Sanhedrin and go into that Gemara. But this is the Ramban's proof. I don't think we have the time to go through the Gemara. But that's up to you. Because in Machon Meir, when we had this class, every time we'd go to Gemara, we'd go through the Gemara. So I don't know, then you end up learning a lot of Gemaras, but you go much slower.
You give it to Shiur, we rely on you. We
can't right, but this is a new forum here. I need to see what you want.
You do a good enough job no matter what you do, so that's a difference.
Let's go. Let's say, David, you would want to see the Gemara inside? To expand through the Gemaros?
No.
Shai? Moshe?
Yeah, why
don't you? You'd go back there? The Gemara. So where's our vote? We're 2-3. Are you, Malachi, you want to see the Gemara?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you want to see the Gemara too? Okay, so we're out of time anyways. We have to get ready for Alvit. No, the truth is the next lines in the Ramban we'll understand much better if we see the Gemara. So it makes more sense. The next time we meet is probably, let's see.
What about the